Also greet each one in the name of Jesus. Stand before you in the fear of the Lord. Let's can look at life of an individual here in the New Testament this morning. You can turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Look at the last few verses from verse 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10. Look at a blind man, Bartimaeus here. And look at his relationship to Jesus, his response to Jesus, and also then compare that to our lives, our blindness at times, or maybe before we know Jesus. The similarities between the physical blindness here and spiritual blindness. In Matthew, parallel scripture, it talks about two blind men here, but here in Mark it only talks about Bartimaeus. We know that this poor man lived in Jericho here. But we'll read these verses now, I guess. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So we see this poor man lived in Jericho, and Jericho is to the northeast of Jerusalem there, and somewhere, I should have written down my note, but it's kind of implied in some of the scriptures that Jericho was sort of a type of, I'm not sure of sin, but at least opposite of Jerusalem was a better place, and Jericho was more of a fallen city. But we know Jericho was the winter capital Herod the Great had built up. The climate there was drier and warmer than Jerusalem was in the wintertime. Jerusalem can tend to be damp, apparently. Anyway, wherever prosperity is, like there was here in this city, there also will be beggars. And we know today, wherever there is prosperity, there also are people that have needs, people that are blind. Wherever there is opportunity for good in the worldly sense, there's also opportunity for people to have needs of seeing Jesus and getting healed. We know that Jesus visited Jericho here, it said he would, but it was a brief visit. It says they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, it seems he just was basically passing through, according to this scripture. So what can we learn from that? We know that Jesus also, for each individual, each one of us, he is passing by at some point in our lives, some point in the life of every individual, every sinner, Jesus passes by within reach, and there is a day of grace for every soul. We'll be looking at a number of points here. The first one is, the first thing we'll look at is that mercy was needed. The sin-blinded man had many needs, but his primary one was a need for mercy. And also then obviously for every individual since that time to today, any poor person, any beggars that we know of have been, maybe have many needs, but the primary one is the need for mercy from Christ. As the light comes from the sun, so the mercy is needed. Mercy comes only from God. Mercy that acts in helping and healing. First one we'll look at, mercy, or the need that Bartimaeus had. He was blind, obviously. The blind are to be pitied because they can't see either themselves or others. They can't enjoy the light and are ignorant of what the light reveals. You know, the light reveals so many things, and in the darkness we know there are many things around us, many things that are probably beautiful, and as we pass by them on the road, sometimes we wish that it was daylight so that we could enjoy that. But in the same way, if we don't have the light of God's mercy, there are so many blessings around us that we are ignorant of as well, that aren't revealed to us. Those whose minds are blinded by the gods of this world can neither see their own deformity and filthiness, nor can they see the beauty and the preciousness of the Savior. It's a compounded problem, right? First of all, we can't see the needs we have, and then we also can't see what all is available if we would get that fixed. The second problem he had was he was poor. It says here he sat by the highway side begging. A person must be conscious of his poverty before he sets out to begging. Just like those who think they have no need of anything won't very likely be praying to Christ for help. First of all, there needs to be an awareness of being poor. And these two people, here we only read about Bartimaeus, but he was conscious of his many needs. He was conscious that he couldn't see, obviously, and he was conscious that he didn't have enough food to eat. And we also probably are aware of some of the needs that we have, but are we aware of the true poverty if we don't know Christ? Are we aware of how needful we really are? Revelation 3, verses 17 and 18. It's because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. It's a warning here about us being rich and increased in goods, or thinking we have enough intelligence, enough wit, enough resources of ourselves, our own doing, and that we don't know how wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked we are. The next one that he was he was helpless. He could not expect to receive his sight except through a miracle wrought by a divine hand. It all likely had he expected to die blind. He would have been unreasonable for him to think that he would just be begging here for a few years and then at some point he would gain his eyesight and then be able to provide for himself. That's not rational sense, does it? But how many people go through life kind of with that thought in mind that they're blind and helpless and poor now, but they just continue on in this situation. Eventually something will happen and everything will get better on its own or by their own strength and power. You know, that never works that way, does it? It's only by coming to Christ and getting his salvation that anything can change. No one but Christ could deliver him from his blindness. And praise the Lord, Christ had come within reach and was actually passing by. He was there at the right time. Christ is also passing by each one of us at some point, like I said earlier, within our reach. And everyone that has a conscious thought of their need, something in their life is making them blind, making them poor, or that they are blind and poor, if they have that thought, obviously Christ is then within their reach at that moment. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Warning of procrastinating, putting off the salvation of the Lord for some later time. Also Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. You know, Christ is in the life of Bartimaeus here in this story. He is passing by. He's on his way to another destination. And applying this to sinful man, you know, there is not going to be opportunity always. There will be coming a time when that opportunity will be withdrawn. Jesus will be out of reach. The next one is mercy asked. It says, verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And then when others rebuked him, he cried the more a great deal. You know, others here were trying to keep him from calling out. And others also, there's always others around that try to keep a sinner, a poor blind soul from crying out. Saying, well, try just to distract that person, maybe to, it makes them uncomfortable if a sinner is crying out to Jesus and they want to prevent that. Keep the person from crying out to Jesus, to just try to make him comfortable in his sin and to continue on in that lifestyle. But Bartimaeus here knew he had this opportunity. He knew his need. He knew Jesus, the source of his healing was there. And he cried out the more. It's not easy to still a hungry man from crying out when he knows there's bread available there to be had for free. This is one who recognized his great need and he was calling out for help. He cried out for the right thing. He said, "Have mercy on me." If he finds mercy, then he finds a solution for his other problems as well, right? He cried out for the right thing. He didn't start with some of his other needs, but he started with his greatest need. If we find Christ, all our problems can be solved. All of our needs can be met. You know, so many people see their situation in life as desperate, and maybe the temptation is to become conscious of their needs, to cry out for peace, maybe, or for better relationships with other people, or for consolation, or so many things, when instead they should, first of all, we should be crying out to Christ for his mercy and his salvation. Bartimaeus didn't, when he heard Jesus passing by, he didn't ask him if he could spare some change or if he could just send someone with a loaf of bread or something. He knew what his true need was and he called for that. Also, he cried to the right one. He said, "Jesus, thou son of David." All his hopes were centered on Christ. He didn't recognize Jesus as the great one, or who Jesus was, the Christ, and then just let him go by and then ask for some of the last people in the crowd following him to somehow help him. But he asked for mercy from the one who could truly supply that, extend that mercy. Acts 4 verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If Jesus would have failed him, there would have been nothing left for him but despair and darkness. But we know that Jesus would not. Philippians 4 verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Let your requests be made known unto God. The only one that can supply all our needs. There are many people that can probably help with various needs that we have in our life. And from time to time, people need to ask help from humans in various situations. But the greatest need we all have is the need of salvation and the need of mercy and grace from God. So let's ask him first for that. The third one, he asked at the right time. Luke 18, verse 37. Says, "And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." He didn't wait for a more convenient time. He knew the danger of delay. Do we know the danger of delay? Make sure you aren't letting your last opportunities slip by without a cry for help. The last point on this one is a poem, a very short one. It says, "There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and his wrath." That line on each one of our paths that we journey on is an invisible line that we can't say, "Oh, this is the line here." Obviously, is the boundary between God's patience, and if I cross over, then that patience will be gone and we'll face his wrath. But we never know when we are about to step over that line. Third one, there's mercy was offered. In Job 38, verse 41. Talks about God's mercy offer, or God's all-seeing eye, I guess, is who provideth for the raven his food when his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. He's asking who provides for the animals, the birds. We know that God hears the cry of the raven, and he will not turn a deaf ear to their needy cry. And if he does that for the birds, the animals, if he provides for them, how much more will he provide for a soul, a lost soul that is crying to him in faith? Now, Bartimaeus here was in need. He cried to Jesus for mercy, for healing. And then Jesus, see what he did? He stood in verse 49. And Jesus stood still. When we pray to God, the goal is for God to hear our cry, isn't it? Obviously. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. He cried with sincerity. It wasn't just a prayer by rote. But he cried and Jesus stood still, that he might give himself to help this believing and destitute beggar. In the same way, Jesus pauses to hear every soul that calls to him. That's such a blessing, such an amazing thing, you know, Jesus passing by. And if we in sincerity pray to him, call to him for help, he won't just continue passing by and fading off out of earshot. But Jesus stands still in a sense and hears every cry to him. Next one, he called in 49, last part. Says this, well, it's the people here saying, calling, but says, be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee. But we know that Jesus called to him. This is the gospel of Christ calling to blind Bartimaeus. And notice how quickly he calls, or he obeys this call. It says, casting away his outer garment in his haste, he was probably bound up or wrapped in a warm jacket or shawl of some kind that would have hindered his movement, but he cast away what would hinder him to get to Christ, to respond to the cry or to the call, invitation of Jesus. Our cry for help would be in vain if we refused to answer, to obey the call. Another thing Jesus did here, he offered in verse 51. Jesus asked him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus has offered all his grace to make it available to this poor blind man. And he continues to offer that same grace available to us as well, each one. Offer as long as we have time and opportunity. That opportunity is there. We know, I said earlier, I cross a line at some point where God's wrath will be poured out and the mercy will not be available, but as long as we have breath, and clear minds, that grace is available, still being offered to us. Right, number four, mercy was enjoyed. Jesus will not send the hungry away empty. We know that Bartimaeus here believed. Verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, turn with me if you want, just don't have to, just a verse here. Verse 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He believed, Bartimaeus believed, the same way we also need to have faith and believe that God is able and that he will reward. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. A gift freely given, but needing to be taken and accepted. It is the prayer of faith that saves. Next one is he received. Immediately he received his sight. Sight was offered to him, and he accepted the gift by faith. Those who believe on him will not need to walk in darkness. They can also receive their sight. The power and grace of Christ are all sufficient for all who trust. You know, it's not that we'll need to continually try to get more power and more grace from Christ so that at some point we can be completely freed from our blindness. But if we have the faith that grace is sufficient immediately, there's enough grace to completely restore the poor and the blind. Number three, he followed. Last part, it says, and he followed Jesus in the way. You know, Bart here had no need or desire to continue begging once he met Christ and got his life renewed. He didn't go back and get his jacket there again and sit down on the shoulder of the road there and continue begging. That's ridiculous. But he followed on from there on. He followed Jesus. His back was turned to Jericho and his face was set toward Jerusalem. The same way, when we have experienced that renewal, that vision restored, we also don't want to continue with the old lifestyle. You need to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is the evidence of being blessed by him. You know, blind men can't follow very well. They need to be led by hand, basically, or they can, I mean, talking about physically blind people, they can't follow very well, and neither can spiritually blind men follow. But we need, first of all, to have eyes opened to be able to follow Jesus. And once they are opened, then we need to continue to follow Jesus wherever he leads. Are you a follower of Jesus? Is your eyesight restored, or are you still begging? Let's kneel for prayer.
Father in heaven, pause for prayer this morning.
Thank you that you have passed by each one of us within calling distance of each one of us. That you have made your mercy and grace available to us. You're still extending our mercy. We pray that you would continue to grant mercy and healing to blind those that have not known you, that you would continue to stand close enough, pass close enough by that they can reach out to you and make avail themselves of your mercy before it is too late. We also realize that there are many that are trying to distract us in our journey with you and trying and even with ourselves, we often try to convince ourselves that we're happy to be still begging and happy to still have very dim eyesight and that we can probably expect ourselves to help ourselves. And you know how the foolishness of that, Lord, just help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you and just avail ourselves of your grace and of your complete healing. Help us to follow you on wherever you call. We realize that even if we have responded to your call, that many times we realize that maybe our vision is not as good as it has been or it needs to be, and we need to sharpen that. Just help us to, as a brotherhood, also be able to do that for each other, to maybe at times point out to each other saying, hey, are we still seeing as clearly as we did, or is there things that we need to be seeing? And we thank you so much that you have given the Holy Spirit, that he continually prods us and helps us in our journey as well. We pray now that as we go from here, that you would just bless us, help us to be strong for you. And we also pray for those that are suffering this morning, that you would continue healing, and also those that are traveling, that you would grant traveling mercies, and those that are facing loss of property and so forth. These last law here that you would undertake for those suffering there as well. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.